Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Well, it's great to be in church. Great to have you in church. And church should be a place where we have fun, where there's some life and joy and warmth and light. And it's certainly warm for me this morning. I don't know if anyone else is feeling it, but certainly warm in here today, but that's all good. Very privileged and blessed, and would certainly appreciate your prayers this week. April and myself, we're flying to the States, been asked to be involved in a music festival on the East Coast, Pennsylvania, and it's an incredible privilege and honour to be invited to speak. So that should be a real exciting time. No idea. It could be anywhere from sort of 40 to 60,000 people there. So it should be a lot of fun. So I do that with Preston, but certainly would appreciate your prayers in that trip. Would be great. We've been looking at the love of God over the last few weeks, and last week sort of just tried to, in a sense, just scratching the surface really, about a framework for how we can actually love ourselves so that we can better love others, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and mind, our strength, and loving your neighbour as yourself. Started to look at that, and what I was hoping to do this morning was, I guess, make that step from understanding that and trying to get a fresh revelation of the love of God and how we should be constantly inviting the love of God into our lives, and to get an understanding of the love of God from a biblical framework, not just from various sources and whatnot of how we decide to put it all together, but what does the Bible have to say about God's love and how that can impact and shape our lives and that to then outwork in our lives. So what I was hoping to address this morning is that the sermon title was going to be Real Love Will Move Us. Real love will move us. And I really don't know whether I'm going to get there this morning after what's been happening, because a couple of things have just come to mind that I think are worth maybe clarifying or elaborating on of what came out of our worship time there. So I might digress for a minute, get there, maybe not, but sound like I'm rambling on like a hobo, right? But anyway, to bring us back to the topic of love, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, doctor, but also psychologist, I think, very much wrote around grief and loss and life. She wrote this in her book, The Wheel of Life. I've never met a person whose greatest need was anything other than real, unconditional love. There is no mistaking love. You feel it in your heart. It is the common fiber of life, the flame that heats our soul, energizes our spirit, and supplies passion to our lives. It's our connection to God and to each other. And so this morning, I read that because I want us to try and kind of start to refocus around the love of God and what that might be. I had a couple of questions that I was trying to think about myself, and that was, what was the first person or thing that you think that you loved? What was the first person or thing that you just really loved, where it sort of became really obvious and apparent for you? And I was thinking, was it my first surfboard? Mum rated up there pretty highly, and my grandmother, who wasn't really my grandmother, she was an Aboriginal lady that I just adopted as my grandmother, but just thought was my grandmother, certainly experienced incredible unconditional love from her, and I really did love her. And what about now? What or who would you say you love now? And, because we're in church, apart from Jesus, because everybody loves Jesus, right? And if I had to ask then a question of how is that evidence, how is that seen in your life, how is it outworked in your life that you love? I had lunch with a mate of mine who's actually a groomsman in our wedding, and he was the architect that helped design all of this space and stuff. He's a senior partner in a great firm, and we're sitting talking, and we just do what you do, you know, so I know how's the families and all that sort of stuff. And back in 93, 94, at the end of the semester, we did this surf trip to the west coast of South Australia, and it was like, you know, sort of some great waves, very kind of full-on places and very sharky, and some great experiences with sharks. Well, not that you have great experiences with sharks, but good stories at least to tell. And when we came back from that trip, it was New Year's Eve, and he goes, oh, do you remember? I'd totally forgotten about this. He brought it to my attention. And down at Victor Harbour, does anyone know South Australia? Victor Harbour is a little bit of a touristy destination in South Australia, sort of about an hour's drive south of Adelaide, the township. And it's kind of like a coastal place, and it's a holiday destination. So being New Year's Eve, at that time it was still a wet zone, it's a dry zone now. It was just a really big gathering place for people for New Year's Eve. And my brother had been a photojournalist for a while, and he kind of like was assigned the job to go and take some photos of the revelers for the night. And so we're down at Victor Harbour, and it's just, you know, jam-packed on this oval and park and stuff. And, you know, the night gets going, and of course people are, you know, sort of drinking too much and stuff. And my brother's just there to do his job. And all of a sudden, like, we're in the middle of the crowd. All of a sudden this fight breaks out. And, you know, like, it's just, there's just fists, and it's pretty hard to get out of the way of stuff because you're just crammed in. And my brother decides, oh, this is a great opportunity for photos. So he's just gone, it's starting to get dark, so he's just lifted his camera above where he was and was just doing that, you know, just as a photographer would do. And of course, the flash is going off. And I have not seen a fight kind of stop so quickly. It's like, you know, there's about five or six guys involved in this kind of all-in ruckus. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, they stopped kind of doing this one, wanted to punch each other in the head, and they just looked to where the flash came from. And my brother's just standing there, and he's gone, uh-oh. So one particular lad really didn't appreciate my brother taking photos of him throwing punches. So he kind of pushes, and then, don't know how, but isn't it amazing how people create space for certain things? And it was like the seas parted, and this guy had just a direct line to my brother. And I've looked at my mate Justin, the architect guy, and he's looked at me, and I've just gone like this. And I've looked at my brother, and then I've looked at this bloke coming, and as he got closer, I just sort of just stepped in between them. And I've looked at this bloke, and I've looked at my brother, and I'm like, and I've just gone, mate, it's not going to happen. And he just goes, I can't say what he said, but, you know, he said a few words. And I said, mate, look, if you want to get to him, you've got to go through me. And that's how it is. And he's just gone, oh, mate, I don't have a problem with you. I go, yeah, you do, because that's my brother. So if you've got a problem with him, you've got a problem with me. Now, unfortunately, my brother is useless when it comes to these sort of things, right? So I knew if something was about to go down, I was going to get very little support from him. And my other mate is just there with, he was loving it. He's just like, I'm just going to sit back and just watch this. But, you know, I'm just wondering how I'm not advocating violence, and it didn't get violent. And in the end, my brother ended up having a couple of beers with the bloke later anyway. So, you know, it was what it was. But that moment got a little bit tense. But, you know, it was my brother, and I love him, and he annoys the hell out of me, and he's frustrating and annoying, but he's my brother. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for him. And I'm just wondering, like, for you in your life, how do you manifest or evidence love? We refer to this every now and then, and that's Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages. It's a great book if you haven't read it, especially if you're a couple. It's a great book to understand one another, not just yourself, but one another. It really helped Nat and I, well, helped me in our relationship of how to be a better loving husband. And he would argue that we receive but show love in 5 different ways. And that can be words of affirmation, it can be gifts, it can be physical touch, acts of service, or quality time. One of those. And we generally naturally show the kind of gift of love of which we actually prefer to receive love. And so I'm going to ask all the husbands in the room, do you know your partner's love language? Very important. Very important. And if you don't know it, I encourage you to do that. But even as parents, they have Love Languages for Children, the book, which is incredibly helpful. So, I mean, there's different ways that we can do that. But if we come back to a biblical context for just a minute, I think that when we're filled with God's love, the love of Jesus, we're talking about the kind of love that we spoke about last week, you know, that self-giving, self-sacrificing, eternal, unconditional love. If we allow our lives to be filled with that on a daily, ongoing basis, that love should in some way, shape or form work itself out. And so we don't do the works to earn God's love, but the works that we do stem out of our experience and understanding and revelation of God's love. Now, I touched on this morning. I want to kind of like maybe clarify it a little bit more, but we can perform tasks and actions out of head knowledge, but when it's heart revelation, I believe that's when it really becomes transformational, not just in our lives, but for the lives of those people that we connect with. When it's a revelation of God's love, it really is transformational from the inside out. It comes from a different place of motivation, if you like. And as I said before, I think for me, I've got many examples of people who have great head knowledge, but they lack the heart revelation. And there's something different about somebody that walks with Christ who has pure intellectual head knowledge and those that have heart experiential revelation with the Spirit of God. And so we can intellectualize or theorize love all that we like. But for me, unless we actually have that rhema, that revelation, and revelation comes from the Spirit of God, unless we have that, we can be limited in our capacity and ability to love. And as I said before, you know, God is love. We told that in 1 John, but also that God is Spirit. So therefore, what I'm talking about is a revelation of God's Spirit to our spirit about the nature and the form of that love, which is, because it's eternal, we can be constantly being revealed aspects and elements of God's love. You see, for me, there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And I just wanted to cover this just for a minute because I think it'll help some of us in this room. I think the demographic of our church, the demographic of the community that we're in, we've got majority of people are pretty switched on smart people. And that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes that can get in the way of the revelation experience that God wants us to have, which is actually far deeper and more powerful and more life-transforming than just than the head knowledge itself. I mean, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 4, and I've just sort of just added this to my notes, so bear with me. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Like, I don't know about you, but like if you come to church, if I come to church and all I'm hearing is just, yeah, look, there was good content, but if the Spirit of God's touch and anointing is not on it, I just go, I can listen to any podcast, I can read a book, I can get information from anywhere. It's the anointing, it's the touch, it's the Spirit revelation that I want and that I want us as a church to want. It should be a heart's desire because, as I said, God won't impose himself on it except to hearts that are open. He continues on in verse 5, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Let me ask you this morning, does your faith rely more on your wisdom and intellectual understanding, or does it rely and rest on and draw from God's power? Think about that for a minute. I want you to answer it. It's not just a line I'm putting in my message. It's actually a question I want you to answer. Think about that for a minute. Because I know at times, because I'm a mass physics chem guy, right? So I know at times I can err towards the whole getting right into it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then there's times like this morning where I just go, no, I need to get out of my head and I need to kind of go, God, where's your spirit going? What is it? There are people in this room, you need a breakthrough, and it doesn't matter how much of an intellectual I am, it's not going to help your problem, but the Spirit of God is the answer. It's the solution. It's what you need. It's where the answer's at. Wow, it's quiet in here this morning. Fantastic. Verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. We're the recipients of that. None of the rulers of this age understand it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the law inside out, but there was no revelation. They had God himself in their midst, but they were so blinded by their intellect and by their minds that they didn't discern or even pick up that Jesus, God himself, was in their midst. You know, surely God was in this place and I didn't know. I mean, for us this morning, we can come to church each week and the Spirit of God is here, but we can leave and not even know it. May we not be ever be guilty of that. Verse 9, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to you by his Spirit. So did you kind of like, how exciting is that? That there is stuff that God wants to reveal to you that you're not going to be able to grasp with your mind. It's got to be the Holy Spirit revelation in your life. Oh my gosh. Processing. Good save. But think about that for a minute. That is why our faith is so not boring. I mean, I would get bored if I just was like, if it was just, I took the Word of God as simply another book. I would get bored. But we're saying here that the Spirit of God actually wants to reveal stuff to us. And he has no favorites. If he wants stuff revealed to you, he'll reveal it to you. It's not just for Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil should get that revelation for us as a church. And I pray this morning, this is a revelation God gave me for us. That we wouldn't kind of like be walking off secondhand revelation. You should get something from what I'm preaching this morning. Hopefully it sparks something in you for you to go away and get your own revelation. Man, like in our life groups, you should be going in there and scaring the bejeebus out of your life group leader. You have no idea what God's talking to me about. Can I show you what God's been speaking to me about? But no, we just want to go and be fed. You know, some of us just want to go, come on, Pastor Phil, what have you got for me today? Come on, impress me. I really don't care what you think. I'm not here to impress you. I'm just here to deliver what God has for us as a church. Because otherwise we live kind of like in a small world when God goes, hang on a sec, I'm taking you into broad, wide open spaces. Oh, this is fun. So these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. Can your mind search all things? You know, Dr. Google, then maybe, you know, it might argue that, but even then it doesn't have access to every bit of information available to humanity, and you couldn't read through it all yourself either, but the Holy Spirit searches all things. He knows all things. So if you want to know stuff, go to the man who knows stuff. And actually, he doesn't want to keep it to himself. He actually wants to share it. He wants to share truth. He wants to share visions and dreams. He wants to share and disclose to you the secrets on how you can shift from where you are to where he wants you to go. So the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And God is eternal. So when they say deep, that's deep. Deep. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If you want to know what God's thinking, listen to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? God, what are you saying to us as a church? What are you saying to me in my life? What are you saying my work situation with what we're facing? What is it, God? What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? So that we may understand what God has freely given us. How cool is that? Like, I just added this to my notes and I'm kind of like, how cool is this in the context of this morning? This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, again, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with Spirit taught words. And here it is. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so I know for a fact the majority of my mates, if they came in here this morning and we were doing the whole Jesus God thing like we did, they wouldn't get it. They might kind of pick up and just go, there's something going on here. I'm not sure about it. But when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit, and therefore it's like a communication channel between us and God is just opened. And it's nothing that we have done. It's freely given by God. So therefore God goes, hey kid, I've got some stuff that I want to show you. There's some stuff that I've already put within you, and my Spirit that's come inside of you is actually going to start to bring that to life. And if you let more of me into your life, then just wait and see and watch what will actually happen. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not against acquiring head knowledge. I'm not against that at all, because sometimes that the heart revelation that we get is based on the head knowledge that we've actually built up in our lives. And so God's revelation will never be in contradiction to his word. So yes, we have a responsibility that we should be growing and maturing in the word of God. But heart knowledge is something that is revealed to us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And then there's suddenly, I know this is not scientific, but for me it's suddenly when the Spirit of God has revealed something to me, I just know that I know. And I know it in my knower. Do you know what I mean? You just there's no other reason for it. When God speaks about something and I get a revelation from God, it doesn't matter what people around, it doesn't matter what natural circumstance, I just go, no, God has spoken, God has revealed this to me, and I just know that I know. And if you've never had that experience, I'm excited for you. Because you can if you want to. You don't have to live off somebody else's story. Get your flipping own story. Get your flipping own revelation from God. Except God goes, I want to share it all with you. Oh, wow. Because when it comes to heart knowledge, you know, like for me, let me give you an example of it. It's like we can read a passage of scripture over and over, but suddenly we get to it and we're in the middle of a circumstance and then suddenly it goes, you ever had like the words jump off the page and you never saw that before? Where's that been hiding? Like how did I miss that before? It's because it's in that moment that the Holy Spirit goes, I know, kid, that you need this. You need this bit of direction. You need this bit of encouragement. You need this word to hold on to. And if something jumps off the page and you're not sure why, just hold on to it because the time's coming where you'll need it. More often than not, a storm is coming your way and you need something to hold on to it. And you know, I've got a revelation from God. So when that storm hits, it goes, it doesn't matter what's going on around. God gave me a word. And some of you, I know God has given you words. And I encourage you to hold on to them. Because we know that the word in Hebrews 4, it tells us the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is alive and active. And really, it becomes alive and active when we allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate it, make it. He's the author of it. He moved on the authors so that they would pen those words. So therefore, when we ask the Holy Spirit, who wants to lead and guide us into truth, and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know about you, but when I go to read the word of God, I say, God, I'm not that smart. I need your help. Help me to understand this stuff. And I'm not sure what it is. And yes, it's great to have commentaries and all those sort of things, and they're good. But there's times when I need to just go, okay, I need to put that aside, and I need to just go, Holy Spirit. Like, okay, if Holy Spirit, you illuminated it to Matthew Henry, the commentator, then maybe you can illuminate it to me for how I need to apply this in my circumstance and situation. So how does this head and heart knowledge come about? Where does that difference come from between the head and the heart as we speak? Well, our intellect is part of our natural mind, and therefore it's part of our soul. And that passage out of Hebrews actually says that God can speak to our mind, but he also wants to illuminate things through his spirit about his word so it becomes alive to us. So let me differentiate the difference between soul and spirit for just a second. Our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. Okay, so that's our personality, how we interact with one another, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Whereas our spirit is that part of us, when we invite God to come into our life, it's part of us that comes alive to him. Our spirit that is there, that God comes to indwell and breathe life into us. And we can know things with our natural mind and within our soul. But we can also know things within our spirit, because that's where God's spirit resides, and God wants to come and increase and expand in our lives through his spirit. So for me, it's not until scripture actually comes alive to us personally that it has the power to affect change in our lives. See, revelation does a couple of things. I'm going to finish with this. Revelation brings power to our lives. Revelation brings power to our lives. Because when we understand things intellectually is one thing, but when the Holy Spirit illuminates it, as I've just said, that's a whole different matter. Because if we're just relying on our own intellect, we're depending upon our own abilities to a level of understanding, And it will, the execution of that will be determined by how much willpower we have, how much strength we have in our own strength. But once it's actually a revelation from God, the Holy Spirit illuminates that in our lives and it's fueled by the Spirit of God, that's where heart change begins to happen. And we know the importance of the heart, which I'll come to in just a minute. So revelation, let's just jump straight to that. So revelation brings power to our lives, but revelation brings heart change, which leads to life change. So when we allow the Spirit of God to illuminate something in our lives, it actually causes heart transformation because we have a shift in our understanding in a supernatural way on a element or a dimension of who God is, of relationships, of how the world works, that God brings illumination. He brings revelation to our lives that we otherwise would not have got through our intellect or through our mind. It's just one of the incredible gifts that God wants to continually to bestow upon his people is that whole area of revelation when it comes to who he is and his word. And when it impacts our hearts like this, we know Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. Luke 6:45, Matthew 15:18 says, the mouth speaks out of what the heart is full of. So if, you know, if our mouth speaks what our heart is full of and we speak a lot of crap, then our heart must be full of whatever. Oh, I'm glad at least we got a response to that. So the revelation brings that heart change. And heart change leads on to life change, not just for you, but for the people around you. Because they see the transformation in you, but it's that heart transformation that becomes the motivation for how we then love and care for others. See, if you've got a struggle in your life, maybe you've read, researched, thought about it, and that's great, and we need that, but maybe you haven't cried out for a revelation from God about the situation. Maybe you've been battling it in your own willpower and own strength, and God goes, hang on a sec, stop doing it in your own strength. Allow my Spirit to come and give you a revelation of the victory you already have over that situation and start operating out of my strength, out of my Spirit, not your own strength. It's the power of revelation that God wants to bring into our lives. I pray that just simply we would be a church that is hungry, that we desire, would be open to this kind of revelation. Because if we can just jump back to the topic at hand, which is the love of God. So keep that in mind about head knowledge versus heart knowledge, head knowledge versus revelation. So if we're talking about the love of God, 2 Corinthians 5, I won't read all of it, but verse 14 is one that just has gripped me and really helped me understand how God's love has impacted my life and how I interact with others. And in verse 14, it says, Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Or the New King James Version says, for the love of Christ compels us. The King James and the American Standard says, the love of Christ constrains us. And in the English Standard Version, it says the love of Christ controls us. In the most appropriate word of that word, use of the word control, that is. But when we have an understanding, we get a revelation of the love of God. Let's just wrap up with this. When you get a revelation of the love of God, and it's an ongoing revelation, because it's eternal and we can't know everything there is to know about God's love, and it's unconditional, self-giving, self-sacrificing that we touched on last week. When it's that and so much more, it's all-powerful, it's ever-present, it's there. We know that when we get an ongoing revelation of the power of God, suddenly that starts to change me. So therefore, it does compel me to do certain things. It moves me to do certain things. Some of us come from a works-based background, and we've got to keep kind of like getting that out of our heads that like my works are the things that make God love me. And we should think about that for a minute, because a lot of us are actually motivated out of that mindset, whether that's from another church experience that we need to unlearn because it's not biblical, or whether it's just our framework of what love is that I need to do to be loved. That's not how God's love works. He loves us because he just loves us. We're not deserving of that. But when we have a revelation of just God's love in our life, it will compel me to do certain things. It will compel me to do the things that please Him. It will compel me to walk in obedience. But it also, like it says here, that it constrains me. So I know for me, and we're all open to temptation, and so I'm not denying that, but I know for me, one of the main reasons that I would never ever consider committing adultery against Nat and against the marriage covenant that I've made before God and before Nat is that not only would it be incredibly damaging to Nat and my kids and my family, but it would break the heart of God. And so it constrains me from certain things. So there's certain things that the love that I have for Jesus, I don't care what people think of me when I say I love Jesus. I don't care. I tell my mate the other day, he goes, "Mate, I don't know how you do what you do." I go, "Mate, it's God, I don't know, dude, but just the love of God has made such a difference in my life." And I don't know how people get through what they do without the love of Jesus. Don't know how you get through what you do without the support of a loving community and family. So the love of Christ, when we have an ongoing revelation, when it's illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit, so it's not just an intellectual, theorized understanding of the love of God. And if that's where you're at today, it'll take you so far, but I dare say that in your Christian walk, you'll get frustrated. And you'll get dissatisfied because all it is like, well, it's just theorizing love. And I just as I can theorize a whole bunch of other stuff. But when it's revelation stuff that I could not come up with myself or understand on my own, when it's a God revelation in my life, when it's Holy Spirit inspired revelation in my life, the love of God is not just theory to me anymore. It's something that I've experienced. I cannot deny. I don't care what people say to me. It's like God's love is real. And I've experienced it, and I know in my knower that it's real. And so the love of Christ compels us, but it also constrains us. And that's why this morning I wanted to really bring home the idea that we've got to be open to revelation. We've got to be open to Holy Spirit just coming and just going, "You blow my mind," just letting that happen. And I feel sorry for you if you don't let it happen, because you're living beneath the fullness of what God wants to show you in your life. It's like if Christianity is kind of mediocre to you, I'm kind of excited for you, because there's so much more. If you just open the door of your heart, Revelation 3:20. "Here I am," Jesus said. "I stand at the door and knock." The door to where? Door to your heart, to your spirit. Open up your spirit to the Spirit of God. And He comes in, He goes, "That's just the beginning." The greatest miracle that can ever happen is the miracle of salvation. But it's just the beginning of us beginning to understand and know who God is. And if we just bring it back to His love this morning. When was the last time you had a fresh revelation of the love of God? When was the last time? Come on, if you've been a Christian for more than 3 minutes, 3 minutes ago you had a great revelation of the love of God, but there's more. And it's not like you're being greedy. Like if my daughters came to me and said, "Dad, I love you so much. Hey, can we hang out? And you know, I'd love to chat with you," and all that sort of stuff, I'd be going, "No, we did that 2 years ago. You've had enough. Stop it." You know, like, come on, when your kids come up and go, "I want to have time with you," or, "Hey, can we spend some time, and hey, can you tell me some stories," or, you know, "Hey, do you remember when I was a little kid," and my girls, you know, we haven't done this for a while, but they just love hearing those stories when they're little and stuff, and we've got a father that just wants to hang out, and he just kind of wants to go, hey, I know you don't know this about me, but actually, you know, about 1,500 years ago, we kind of did this, and actually, hey, can we talk about creation? Can I just show you something about creation?" You're reading through scripture and you're kind of like, just, the father goes, hey, can I actually tell you something? But what we're just going is just reading. And he said, I just want to show you something. But you're just reading. The Holy Spirit wants to bring that alive, church. Each and every day can just be some crazy kind of revelation. And let me just backtrack. Not every day is like that for me either, though. Let's be honest. Maybe that's me, lack of faith, but it's just, that's not the reality. But there are those times when you get in alone, you get in with God's word, or you get into worship. And we're worshiping here this morning, and I'm just wanting each of us to have a fresh just glimpse or revelation of God's love, or just reminded that he loves you and he's not forgotten about you. Ah, what a beautiful God we have. Done. Here endeth the lesson. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.